You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. It's the 26th of the year of November.
Huh?
The year of November. I just want to take us back to the time when our late president referred to August as a year. And, yeah, well.
I was going to ask now.
It's voting time.
Are you making a higher joke right now, Helmut? In November. You see how lovely these clouds have shown up, you know?
Yeah.
And I could just see myself enjoying this lovely rainfall.
Is there a little of a big storm coming from, is it south, this direction? Yes?
Yeah. Technically the forecast, because, you know, since Google or Android loves Googling and Androiding everything, the opportunity is pretty high. Light to heavy rain continuing until 7 p.m. We're currently sitting at 4:35. But I suspect it's probably... The guys that are in Grootdorp so far,
yeah,
they're probably seeing some sort of an impact of showers. However, in terms of what we see here, in which is where the studio is in the Windhoek East constituency, we're not talking about Rehoboth North, who are the guys of Simba Basia and Kleiner Cooper. Hey, look, it's an Afrikaans joke. Come on. When you say Rehoboth North, it's Simba Basia and Kleiner Cooper's guys. But yeah, so far, it seems like the rain is creeping up on us.
Yeah.
Just doing a slight comparison in terms of what I saw back in 2020 and today.
For the regional councils and local authorities. Exactly. Back in 2020 and today.
Exactly. Okay. So in 2020, you could basically say that people, they were hungry to get outside, because back in 2020, I remember we provided a lot of coverage on this polling station across from us, the Daybreak, Dagbreek, polling station, the school for special needs kids. That queue was jam packed. Just to see when I got here from the Windhoek Central Polling Station, because I was sitting at Windhoek Central Polling Station after talking to the presiding officer there, getting that short social media video from him, and I sat there a little bit outside just to observe the frequency of voters coming through.
Yeah.
People coming in one by one every 10-minute interval. One by one. And then I see the one by one at Seydorf a little bit later, when I got here at 2 o'clock, and then I decided to vote. And the only exciting thing that happened there at the Seydorf polling station, Helmut, was literally the power level of the iPad that the ECN officials are using, the polling station officials. The iPad reached 56% of its battery power. And then the application says, hey, listen, you got to charge this thing. Use the backup device.
At what percentage?
At 56%. Because the presiding officer told the guy that was checking the validity of my voter's card, hey, listen, check your power. Because the thing, it's as if the camera didn't want to read the, or take a photo of the front part of your voter's card.
Yeah.
And he was asking the presiding officer, you know, what's up with the tablet?
Yeah.
And then she came and checked and she told him, listen, if it reaches a certain power percentage of the battery, you've got to use the backup one.
Is it a power intensive thing, or it's just the battery that's worn out?
Well, Helmut, we have to identify things for as they are.
Yeah.
Many people, there was one particular update that our colleague Happy gave a little bit earlier today, at about just before 2, about the Karatura police station, polling station. The same tablet, the tablet also, you know, slightly overheated and obviously needed to be left alone to cool down, which is obviously the scenario of last year's incident, which was one of the reasons why we waited so long.
Yeah, the voting was sluggish and the queues were insane back then, yeah.
But immediately, what was the report analysis that we looked at from SADC, from AU, and from that other African observer group that was also part of the observers, was primarily that the whole issue was because we had too few voting booths.
Yeah.
Do you know what we had today? We had more than one voting booth.
So basically, we didn't want the mistake of last year's National Assembly and presidential elections to repeat themselves, yeah.
But at a very rudimentary scenario,
yeah.
Have more voting booths.
Yeah.
But at the three stations I went to, there were two voting booths. Do you know what's the worst part? You've got party officials, party representatives.
Yeah.
They sit at every polling station.
Yeah.
They observe that the processes are fair.
Free and fair.
Not free. Not free. But they are fair.
Well,
and everything is.
And you're not paying to go and vote.
Technically, you are.
Transport money.
Yeah, and the
lunch
and the $10 cool drink I drank, you know, on the way there, you know, being thirsty and all that.
You are overcalculating, dude.
No, you have to, dude. That's what accounting taught me. You know, you literally have to compensate for there. Yeah. You spend money
everything
to get there. You spend money, but the obviously, you know, it was how can it be free if the only people that can vote are the ones that have a voter's card.
Voter's card, yeah.
To say something is free, you also technically imply that there is no restriction to access to vote.
So you're not looking at it strictly from a monetary standpoint, but you're also looking at it from who can access it.
Who can access the particular voting scenario.
Yeah.
So I remember the discussion when I got my first voter's card was that, was it as low as 18? The moment you become 18.
Yeah.
But the first time I actually voted was something like, wasn't it the 20? No, it was a little bit earlier. I think it was the 2008. No, yeah, it was a little bit earlier when they had the EVMs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember the last time that the EVMs were used was the 2019 presidential elections. And then we switched over to ballot papers for 2020.
Yeah.
And then we came back with once again going even more manual last year, 2024, for presidential. And now we're still at the same thing, the same manual system for the same local and regional elections, local authority and regional councils elections. Now, this is where the statement, this is my biggest observation, my biggest worry.
Yeah. Your biggest worry about elections or voter apathy?
No, the voter apathy.
Okay.
I suspect there is great voter apathy taking place. It was why I started with the 2020 observation of what happened.
Yeah, comparison.
This voting station here across from us was jam packed in 2020.
Not for the presidential national assembly, but for the regional council.
For the same elections, for the same thing. It was jam packed. There were all kinds of people were turning out. There were, when I drove to the academia one. At that same year, just to go check what's happening at Academia High School, Academia Secondary School, it was jam-packed as well. People turned out to vote. Now, obviously, it took place within a COVID year in 2020, so it obviously meant that you had a bunch of Namibians who just wanted to get out of the house, who just wanted to participate in something, who probably thought
they just wanted to leave the house.
Probably.
For the most part, yeah.
And that they probably wanted to participate in a voting process that probably could change the COVID situation that they were enduring. So I'm just adding on things in terms of an observation in what I saw and what I remember still from back then.
Yeah.
And then you tie that up to what is happening today, Hamlet. Where I live, the station that I voted at right now, it's Sederhof Primary School. Yeah. I literally finished within 2 minutes.
The only
delay was when the guy that was checking my card had to ask his presiding officer, his supervisor.
Yeah.
The machine is not reacting, and she told him, "Hey, you're at 56% power of the machine. Go and charge the machine." And all she had to do was ask the police officer, informing him, "Listen, this is the protocol that we have to follow. We now have to use the backup machine so that this machine can just be switched off, switched back on, and be recharged again." The one that's now at 56%.
Yeah.
That's the only exciting thing that took place.
Anything outside of that?
Zero.
Okay. In comparison to what we saw last year with the National Assembly and presidential elections, just the polling station across the street here.
Yeah.
First of all, there was no parking space in John Ludwig Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was packed from the beginning. One side to the end.
Yeah.
It was all packed. And now on my way here, I'm counting like literally about 2 to 3 cars, and I only saw two people going in the gate. And now when I got here, I asked my colleagues. They were like, because I thought I was running late.
Mm.
Yeah, because I also had to finalize the script and everything. Now, if it wasn't for that, according to them, I would have basically had time to go vote and come and finish my script.
No, literally. that's how slow, and that's why I said my greatest fear is, and this is the hypothesis that we have to prove, but we can only prove this after the ECN's report on this performance.
Yeah.
I think this will probably come out next month or next year, with regards to the turnout. Now, what is the turnout? You're going to ask me now.
Yeah.
And I told this to David and the in-studio guest, Dominga, just before we stepped in now. I gave them this update specifically to say, this is the total voter base that is there. On the ECN application, which is free to download, no registration process, anything.
No email, just download.
Just download and the thing runs.
Hmm.
The amount of voters that are, the total amount of voters that are registered is 1.5 million. The total amount of voters that can vote for regional authorities is 1.5 million. The total amount of voters that can vote for local authority councils is 752,000. 50% of that 1.5 million. So, when we're looking at what we saw today, what we're hearing today, what people are seeing today, the discussion on the ground is specifically, are we seeing voter apathy? To what extent are we seeing voter apathy? How bad is this voter apathy? Because remember, everything ends at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, 2100 hours.
Yeah. And that's still giving that we don't get washed away and possibly, experience Moses and his Mark situation. Noah and his Ark situation, with regards to what we're seeing outside the window. Yeah. So, and what is the biggest concern of people when they have to go outside and you see there's rainfall? They'll just go, I'll stay at home.
Yeah.
I'll stay at home.
It's just a one-day thing, so.
But that's the concern also. We're not even yet on the discussion of the potential shenanigans that have taken place building up to today. Like accusations of parties accusing the ECN, swatting away those accusations.
Oh, yeah, last year's drama.
No, this year's drama. There was drama this year.
There's always drama in these things, yeah.
But the drama is sort of like not technically in line with what do voters know.
Yeah.
What do they have to go vote for? I'll say this in terms of what they have to go vote for. And I'll mention it again. The only three options I got for my constituency, which is Windhoek East Helmand, this constituency where our office is also based. I only have three options. And all three of the options are not what I want to select in terms of local authority.
Yeah.
None of them. You only had three options. Imagine that. You just have three candidates to vote for a council seat. If you live in, from Eros to Kleine Cooper, three people is all you can vote on. It's all you can select. Now, when you see an option like that, the discussion is obviously then the one that comes in. So how do voters feel who are in this particular constituency about the lack of options? Is that the fault at the ECN's position, or is it at the parties that don't have
representative.
No, here's the thing. You must live here in this constituency.
Yeah.
To stand for this constituency. Yeah. You can't be in Windhoek West.
And then run for office here.
In Windhoek East.
Yeah.
You can't live in Kommersdal and run in Windhoek East. You must live there. Your address must say Helmut comes from, what's our street address here? 38 John Ludwig.
33B John Ludwig.
Yeah, 33B John Ludwig. That's your address. It should correlate where you, it should actually be like a, like an audit. This is where Helmut stays. Not where Helmut works, where Helmut stays. Now, is it a question potentially? And I'm going to throw this thing up in the air. And this is the clearest observable fact that I could see.
Uh-huh.
Did any of the other parties who are participating really not have a potential candidate that lives in this side of Windhoek for the capital?
Mm-hmm.
Did they really not have anyone else living here? Did they really not plan on moving some pawns,
some bishops,
some knights,
some queens and kings,
you know? Did they really not move some chess pieces to position themselves for this constituency? And if people come and ask me why this constituency, well, this constituency in the Windhoek West constituency probably is where the most decision makers in Windhoek live. It's probably the two constituencies where the most decision makers live. Now, you can take, anyone can take that statement and run with it wildly in the imagination of asking, what is Dwight talking about? Well, just come drive here up Nelson Mandela Avenue and drive through, what's the other one's name? Kwame Nkrumah. The old Ulan Street man.
Now I'm lost.
Okay, if you come through Nelson Mandela and you drive past the US Embassy, you know.
Yeah.
Just drive through here. And then drive on your way to Maroon Mall and drive up with Robert Mugabe, you know, all the way to the end of Robert Mugabe and Kleine Cooper.
Yeah.
And then come tell me. In direct comparison to where the person who's doing this exercise, where do you live? Do you know what I've also realized, Helmut?
Mm-hmm.
The best experiments.
Telling me most candidates can't afford to blow up at one hand.
The best experiments are the ones that you go and do yourself. You go look at the experiment.
Yeah.
And you look at the experiment of, okay, what's the opposite of this experiment? So let's say potentially, you know, people would like to know, okay, so why is there only three people that live in, that are standing for candidacy for Windhoek East? I won't mention the parties, but it's pretty poor. I was going to use some other colorful language, but you know what? We are
a They're having a hard time already as it is.
You know, I mean, I'm disappointed, Helmut. Three people for Windhoek East.
Yeah.
Nah, man. It's bad.
Okay. When it comes to things like voter apathy, for example, like, I think it's just a high time we start looking at it from a lot of like, what are some of the causes? And like you pointed out, one of the causes may be due to the lack of, not enough options. That could be one of the reasons why.
Mm.
Yeah. But, the government, of Namibia basically allocated an entire budget. Of course, EZN gets its budget, of which, part of its expenditure, especially when it comes to, to election years, whether it's a national assembly and presidential or a regional council and local authority elections.
Yeah.
Whole budget is directed in that direction, both for administration purposes and civic and voters education purposes. So you have these programs that have been running, especially with regards to voters education.
Mm.
So, it's not not the lack of information access, because we do have Thursday voters education here on Eagle FM.
Yeah.
So you have this information being disseminated about the importance of voting and why as a citizen it's important for you to participate in your own democracy, aka you have to be directly or indirectly involved into choosing the leader that runs the institutions and the basically the areas where you live in. So the information being disseminated, it's kind of tricky to argue that information, or more like the lack of information, is the problem, because this information is being disseminated in a lot of ways, not just in audio form, but it's also in print form, but and also and it's also televised.
Yeah.
So and also it's also in Braille, by the way. So the information is out there. So if the information is being disseminated and you're still looking at the voter turnout, that's which is now, I think, my favorite phrase by the UN Secretary General on the NDP6 progress.
I mean, look at I think this is Funduk rule or Karatura rule.
Yeah.
Five people.
Yeah.
Even though that's a sample, five people, and I know that guy, because he's standing as one of the he's one of the councillors, he's one of the candidates.
Makes for a sobering.
No, six. It's six.
Is
people.
It sobering reading or sobering voting at this point? So now, I think you know this is where the the sum up of the voter turnout and the some of the expert analytical reasons behind why the voter turnout turned out to be to be this way.
Yeah.
And if you anyone that was here last year at this Dagbreek polling station to during the last year's presidential and national assembly election. So first of all, that was not a queue. No, there were multiple queues in one.
Good one, Almut. Because literally that is what it was.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you found a bunch of people just sitting around side by side talking stories.
Mm.
People came with camping chairs. And then I look at that gate today and I could literally count the number of cars, let alone people.
Yeah.
So the question then, can quickly become, why?
Exactly.
Because initially when I was listening to the national broadcast, because they started broadcasting these programs all across the country, and the part that I stayed for an extended period of time watching was one that was coming out of Zambezi region. Of course, youth were being interviewed, and they were obviously, sat with some of them to talk about, why is voting important? Why should you vote turn out to vote for this type of elections? The idea behind is basically to show mostly people that, the National Assembly and presidential elections are just as local authority and the regional council's elections are just as important as the National Assembly and presidential one. So you should turn out in the same, more like the same energy for both. Except when you look at the turnout from last year to this year in comparison, you have
Let's say it like it is. The suspected apathy is probably based upon the nightmare of last year.
The nightmare of last year with regards to the long queues and
the slow process.
Yeah, the slow process.
But then,
according to your observation, that they basically improved on that by increasing the number of polling, voting booths.
No, but this one of Seydrov.
Yeah.
Had its standard two booths.
Last year
as well. Yeah. And so it just had two booths.
This year they also have
two booths. But there is potential space of having more booths.
Yeah.
You can at least have one or two more if you just arrange the layout process of the verification, checking fingerprints and checking if there's any other,
someone that wants to do namcall voting. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That too. Trying to skip lines somewhere.
Yeah.
How do you skip a line that's not there?
Look, the youth went wild when it comes to voting last year. They were hopping from one polling station to another.
Yeah, there were people, when I was at the Sedrov polling station, there were people driving from Ochehase, the mine.
But commercial break.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vindhuk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vindhuk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vintook, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshpafa na nongeshe faidi mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. It's a minute past the hour of five. If you just tuned in, this is a Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. And today's discussion is one obvious one, which is the ongoing regional councils and local authority elections. And if you haven't casted your vote already, please make your way to your nearest polling station. You have until 2100 hours. So you were saying.
Yeah. So when we take a look at the question of, you know, did the voters literally look at the situation of last year versus this year?
Like, I'm not going through that again.
Which was literally a scenario of, like the reports that you and I analyzed from the AU, the SADC.
Or election observers.
Yeah, the election observers that basically said too few voting booths to speed up the process.
Yeah.
And then the observation that they made back in those reports was that the voting devices, which were these tablets that were used, kept heating up primarily because it was hot during most parts of the country. So we obviously understand technology and Namibia's heat don't go hand in hand.
Yeah.
They don't work together. So now here's one of the particular observations to look at, even in this particular discussion today, Helmut, because I am still on the things that I could see literally don't make sense in terms of how do you just have three people to vote for on a ballot. You get to another one, Vintook Rural, six people to vote for. And there's a whole bunch of independent candidates that are standing obviously here for various particular reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The second scenario is that we have to ask the question of, has anyone ever seen these candidates that they are voting for campaign for you anyway? Because I'll tell you this today, guys. I didn't see any of the three people that on that list. No one had a public hall meeting, driving through my street, through every street in Vintook East saying, hey, listen, this is who I am. Come and vote for me. Zero. Have any of you guys seen these people? Or was it sort of like WhatsApp group coordinations?
I think it was about a week or two ago, and, Comestal, there's, 27, they said that, the side of the playground.
Yeah.
There's one gentleman that basically, from one particular political party that's just, made a whole, more like a whole program there. They had a whole program of, call it a, you know, campaign. Inviting people, more like, they had a sound system and a whole campaign
contribution
time. Yeah.
Why was he standing still?
You know, just stand there and he let everyone who is driving by. Moving costs money, dude.
You see, You see that? I'm about to complain about us Africans again. Do you know how
you can go ahead and do that?
Do you know how one of the guys that campaigned, two of the guys that campaigned in this Windhoek East constituency where I live?
Yeah.
Do you know how they get, how they went about sensitizing? Firstly, the one put all his posters on the street lamps, basic stuff, yes. So you see it when you drive by, you walk by, stuff like that. The other guy, where you can obviously see they are, members of the particular party that he is representing for this constituency.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that are, supporters of that party had his poster on his gate, on their gates. Had his poster
mm-hmm. on their gates.
On their gates. Now, you've got to ask yourself, Helmut, when did you hear anything about this guy? Where did you see anything about this guy? Now, I know, guys, when you look at Windhoek East constituency, you probably ask yourself, what does Windhoek East need? I don't know. Probably a whole bunch of stuff that, like fixing certain particular potholes somewhere or certain things somewhere. I don't know. Other constituencies might have like real issues. But I'll ask you today, just like we hounded on the discussion of where are the manifestos back in 2024,
mm-hmm.
I have not seen anything for 2025.
So it's beginning to show signs of even, from a political party to candidates themselves and voters in general.
Yeah.
We have a way of more like, comparing in comparison to the National Assembly and presidential elections.
Yeah.
The regional council and National Assembly elections are more often looked at as something peripheral voting wise.
It is technically, even though it is crucial.
Yeah.
But when I gave you the numbers, Hamoud, of the how many voters can only participate in each of the local authority and the regional authority elections, that obviously would explain to any person out there, so half of the voting base is literally thrown into the bucket or thrown into the water.
Yeah.
Because they can't make decisions. And where does actual development take place? In urban centers.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask the question specifically where we are based, Windhoek, how much development does Comma still need?
Does the answer a lot suffice?
But what is a lot, Helmut? If I tell you today that you can see that Windhoek is growing, is becoming bigger, heading westwards in the direction of Dunfermline.
Yeah.
With the informal settlements and all that, and now that hospital that was broken.
The one where you need a spaceship to get there.
And an airlift of a jumbo airplane, jumbo cargo airplane to go and drop you off on. Because, why are you building a hospital for people when
they need 4-wheel drive to get there, but none of them has a car. Yeah. No.
So you sit with such a scenario for that hospital. Which would probably also speak of more investment by the state would have to take place in such scenarios across the country, meaning various constituencies, various urban centers. So if an urban center becomes bigger, an urban center requires what? More money.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a rural area become bigger? A rural area become, sort of like, more important than an urban area? No.
No.
Hence the reason I keep making reference to the Inkurinkuru and Kavango East. No, Kavango West reference. Inkurinkuru has to look after 112,000 people that are somewhere in the bush because there's only 10,000 people that live in Inkurinkuru.
But if you look at the recent, NSA population statistics, I think that pendulum is swinging from the look of things, looking at basically the trajectory in terms of movement of how many people are moving from rural to urban versus the other way around.
Yeah.
It's safe to say that by the time that we do the national, the next population census, it's most likely going to those numbers are going to be large in terms of population, larger in urban areas than they are in rural areas.
Mm.
Because the 2011, I can't believe we're still referencing that. The 2011 statistics showed more of a significant population on the side of rural as compared to urban. But we are now, according to the recent statistics, we're at that pace where we are somewhat 50-50.
Mm.
Yeah. According to population distribution between rural and urban areas.
Mm.
With the pendulum, or more like the migration patterns, the urban rural migration patterns showing that a lot of people are moving from rural to urban,
yeah,
than the other way around. So, those numbers, not just for Nkurunkuru, but basically, especially for commerce, they are really fascinating. Seat belt.
Mm.
Yeah. Because we are very centralized. I think that's one of, that's part of the problem in a lot of ways, from economic and political. We're very centralized, which I think it's also, it's a good thing that we are talking about, figuring out to decentralize, even governance wise. But the practical part of that is, wow.
Yeah. And it's a good thing that you focused on the practical part as well, Helmut, because when we have to look at actual development.
Yeah.
And this also brings in the particular conversation of the One China Corner episode that I had with the Chinese ambassador here in the studio about rural development and China's development,
yeah,
where they literally said, position what you've got in the urban settings,
yeah,
position those same services to the rural communities. Why? You don't want the young people living behind the old people in the villages and in the rural areas running to the urban centers. And then who's going to do the farming?
Okay, so because that rural development that you're talking about is dependent on a labor that this young workforce can provide, which now they can't because they're all in urban areas.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Where are the schools? Where are the hospitals? Where are the fresh water sources in terms of the service being provided? And
you're also looking at the efficiency of these services.
Yeah, and the local authorities obviously want to collect the revenue and taxes for the state. Where? In the urban settings. Now, who's going to tax someone sitting there in the rural scenario? How are you going to follow that up? How is that going to happen?
Oof.
And we still have a big discussion, Helmut, that comes through from that rural development conversation in terms of how do you tax those taxable activities that the rural communities are engaging in? Because there will come a stage as well where us, the urban communities,
mm-hmm,
will ask, now when are the rural communities going to pay their part of taxes?
When are they going to start paying for what, for their services?
Yeah, because
now that will bring up the question of what services? Because that takes us back to the discussion we had, I think, a couple of months ago of some of the rural residents telling you that, why should I pay for water? Or fuel, because if I want fuel, I can just go in the woods and collect firewood.
Mm.
I'm good with that. And plus, I'm not paying for any of that.
Mm.
And if I want water, I can just go to the nearest water source, especially if you find a lot of people that live nearby perennial water sources like rivers.
Mm.
I will just go and fetch water right there.
Mm.
Yeah. Of course, that again brings with it the issues of convenience and safety, because the reason for the, take for example, for any service provider to ask a fee from the individuals or group of people they are offering service to is that, instead of you going to the river to fetch water, I can just set up a sink in your kitchen so that you can have, this ease of access. You can take a shower anytime you want.
Or I can build you a pipeline specifically to where you are.
Yeah.
And
then you have a tap.
Then you have a tap.
Yeah.
Because, but then, you build all that installations, and then the state says, "Okay, now you have to pay a tax."
Because that
for this thing we built.
Because that installation, both if you look at it in both in terms of workforce and equipment, needs money.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't care how nice your local authority representative is. If he's setting up a water system, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. They will have to buy a lot of pipes and taps and a lot of this equipment that's needed to do the setup and the people that are required, that are qualified to do the setup. And all these people are not coming for free.
No.
No.
They're not. And the other thing on top of that is also a question of, and this is a duality I've witnessed, that you will have a ministry, sort of like step in for the rural communities, but for a urban setting, it'll be the urban authority.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first, only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
And welcome back. It's a little bit of some showers here and a little noisy. Un momento, s'il vous plaît.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Now, welcome back. The capital here is receiving some shower and the weather is just perfecto. It's excellent in so many ways, especially the two most, the two ways that is mostly viewed is one that contributes to, either agriculture or farming, agriculture or population. It is depending on where you are looking at it from. Oh, you could do both. Depending on your bank account or, social circumstances, social life-wise and all that. But, let's get back to the discussion of, today's, trending topic in the Republic of Namibia, and that is the ongoing elections, regional councils and local authority. From the look of things, everyone wants development. Everyone wants development. At least that's one thing that we can agree on. Let me repeat that again. We all want development. Or at least, most of us, let me just say the majority, if not all of us, we want development. That we can agree on. But when it comes to now doing what it takes to develop the respective areas that we would like to develop, we are not having an honest, conversation, if you ask me. Because, it's one thing to say, we are not developing, we also want to develop and, to this, to the level of that constituency or that urban area. But the thing is, the development of a, the development of a, of an area is mostly highly dependent on the infrastructure that's set up to provide certain services, and then that leads to the efficiency of those services. Take water and electricity, for example.
Mm.
All these things requires one paying for them. If you want your area to develop, when your local authority representative or regional council representative starts explaining that, we are going to install taps in every household, but then after that installation, then every household will have to be paying this amount of money for us to keep providing the service of supplying them water every month. Look, if you are objecting to that, you may as well just object to the entire idea of development.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, first of all, even if you found the nicest local authority or regional council representative who is willing to install a free, you know, free, call it, quote unquote, free electricity or free water system in, you know, in all households.
Mm.
The, it's going to come to a point where it's unsustainable because, those steps will need the repairs from now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mega Build It or whatever hardware store is not going to give you washers for free.
Nope.
Nope. And whoever is installing that is not going to do it for free.
Nope.
Nope. So the bottom line is, we should, I think it's high time we start having conversation around, what it takes for us to, you know, to live around the convenience that we want. And these are mostly convenience that are seen in, that are seen in urban areas. If we want if we want to take the convenience that we have, especially with regards to services like transport, water and electricity, especially with water and electricity.
Yeah.
If we want to take them to rural areas with all this, with the idea of rural electrification dream, for example, we have to start basically, coming to the, to the reality of how transactional this whole thing works. It's not a one direction where all I just have to do is vote, and then if I vote for you, then I need free this and free that and free that. No. I really want to say that's how it works, but unfortunately, that's not how it works. And everyone that basically has a single brain cell that works totally understand that that's not how it works.
And that everything costs money.
Exactly.
There's no running away from the cost implications.
If you're going to have a tap in your house, it's going to cost money.
If you've got water and electricity being supplied to your property,
yeah,
it's going to cost money.
Yep.
The single important thing also, Helmut, is the development discussion. Now, I can say, for example, that it might seem that one constituency doesn't need any more development, and that other constituencies, for example, like here in the capital, need more development. But then you also go ask questions primarily of what is the development supposed to look like? For example, would it be like the transport systems that you and I have had discussions about that we require?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you today, the voting that's taking place today is to basically replace the current councillors in the city of Windhoek municipality. So it's either someone is defending their position, or someone is there to be added new, or someone is competing for someone's defending position,
yeah,
situation. When you look at that discussion, we've had electric vehicle discussions being brought out by this council. We've had mobility discussion. Remember the mobility discussion we spoke about back in September?
Yeah.
Being brought forward by this local council. We've now got that, waste buyback program. Oh, yes, Helmut. I forgot to highlight this. Remember when we spoke about the using waste, but sort of like the, what was that, not the e-waste discussion we had, but the other one about, how waste, What's that ecosystem's name? That thing, but specifically about how waste goes from the product. You have the product gets recycled, it gets used, recycled, is then once again used for another product to make another product, and it keeps being recycled continuously.
Is it the reuse discussion?
Yeah, that one that we had. So we've got such a facility.
We do?
Yeah, they're far away, somewhere there on the other side of Koreanghap.
Oh, in the land far, far away.
Far away. Built by, guess who?
Oh.
Just guess. It's one of our big three development partners. Our big three trading partners. Development partners.
Don't say EU.
I think it's Germany or EU. One of the two.
German EU, same as a group. Especially if it's EU.
Yeah. But Germany decides everything for the EU, so we can basically say German EU. In one breath. So, built by them.
Look.
We did not know we needed something like this. It looks wonderful because I think it was close to $1 million that was dispensed when that thing was inaugurated earlier this year. That was paid to Namibians when they take their trash there. Yeah. But you need more of that because Dwight can't drive from Olympia all the way to Goreanghap just to go and be paid for his trash.
Yeah.
Let's face that as well. I'd love to go and recycle my own trash. I would love it. Remember the example I gave you? I'm sitting with cash on me. That trash is cash.
Yeah, the Scandinavian example.
Yeah, the Danish example. I'm sitting with trash at home. I would like to make money back. But why do you build the waste, that whole situation, why do you build it on the other side of Windhoek? Why would you build something on the other side of Windhoek? Is it to keep the trash lorry employed?
Okay, but, well, I mean, you can't put it in the middle of the CBD.
Why not? Helmut, uh-huh. That example, that Danish example of that lady.
Yeah, isn't that like, the thing was, isn't that the reason why they had those, dispensary type of machines?
Yeah, smaller versions of the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have these things and it gives you this value ticket, like a coupon ticket. You use that.
It for any product. In
and you
the
use store. That to go and buy food with and groceries and stuff.
Hmm.
I mean, you're a consumer. Sorry, guys. literally bounced back on me. You spend money now.
Yeah.
Paying for groceries and stuff at these retailers here close to us.
Yeah.
You spend money here. Yeah. And you take it into another constituency.
Yep.
You consume it then at other constituency. But you are waiting for you've become used to the notion of a garbage truck.
Mm-hmm.
A garbage truck picking up the trash that you throw away and put outside for them to pick up every Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, whatever to Thursday
yeah.
or Friday. You've become used to that notion because it's part of the rates and taxes, bundle
yeah.
that you pay.
Yeah.
But to make things more convenient for you, why can't that same Danish discussion also exist? Because you're paying to buy the product, the 2 liters of milk at the shop. Why can't you get a refund for that carton that the milk was contained in when you dispose of it? Why not? Because it's your trash.
Mm-hmm.
And you're creating trash every day. That's just one example. Another is the mobility discussion. It's the reason why I mentioned I'm so disappointed in this voting scenario today that I've only got an option of 3 people. I'm technically forced. I was technically forced to make an option.
So I
don't know any of the people.
So did you go eeny, meeny, miny?
I stood there going like 2 men, 1 woman, 1 woman. How did they ever campaign? Did they ever talk about serious issues in my...
I mean, you had your phone, you go, no.
I was like, what the hell is this? What is this?
Oh, election, dude.
No, dude.
What?
No, dude. This that happened in my constituents.
Uh-huh.
No, man. No. 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 Because here's the downside.
Yeah.
Well, and did any of them approach or have town hall meetings and discussions in the constituency that they're trying to campaign for with the locals that exist? I didn't hear anything. Now, I mentioned that garbage buyback
example,
waste buyback. Yeah. I mentioned that because that's a pivotal thing, Helmut, because where do you find most of the malls in Windhoek? You unfortunately find it this side of Windhoek, this side of the Independence Avenue scenario. You only find one on the other side of Independence Avenue, which is Vernil.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the shopping centers, most of the commerce activity, the formal commercial activity, you find on, on this side, other side of Kommersdal, this side.
The further south you go.
Yeah. Or eastwards as well.
Yeah.
People might dispute that particular statement I'm saying because I'm looking at the formal buildings, formal businesses, and literally every morning when you see people coming to work, they come predominantly out of Kommersdal Karatura this way to come and work. It's not the same in the morning going to Kommersdal Karatura for people to go work in that direction. Just saying. If you sit with that particular scenario, Hamoud, you also realize that there is a great transport need that exists. The transport need is Windhoek really needs an integrated circular. Oh yeah, it was the circular economy. That's the word, the phrase that I forgot. That's the other conversation we had.
The circular economy.
The circular, yeah. That was the circular economy regarding, you know, waste buyback and stuff like that. We need a circular transportation system in Namibia, specifically in Windhoek, an integrated public transport system, which is affordable for people. And primarily the concern is none of these three candidates literally said anything. I didn't hear anything of them. Do they even know what these things are?
I'm sure they do. I mean, they're representing different political parties, say for a few independent candidates.
There wasn't even an option for independent candidates in my constituency. I know for Windhoek Rural and for Windhoek West, there's probably an independent candidate. But literally, for me, three guys. Three people. That's the option I have. And what are they going to talk about?
Development.
But for what?
That's a word we throw around a lot. But
yeah, you and I, we're going to talk about development. These local councillors, I've been watching them since 2019. These local politicians.
But
they don't, sorry, Almut, they don't talk anything about bringing new advancements, new developments to try and improve services and improve things in Windhoek.
Isn't that like all politicians talk about when they're running for office? How to improve the services, how the previous guys are making it, are terrible at it, and how I can make it way better beyond your expectations, most probably.
Yeah, the sentences go literally as you said there,
yeah.
Verbatim. Yeah, I can make it way better.
Yeah.
How? I'll just make it better.
No, I can do it, but I can't explain it. Only just the
not
is vote.
Not me. Yet. And then when we asked last year, where are the manifestos?
Oh boy, were people pulling their feet.
And then people came up with very, very colorful manifestos of literally, yeah, I'm factory in every constituency.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that, guys.
Careful, some parties are blessed. I don't want to keep using them as an example.
I mean, was this particular discussion, this elections campaign, was this based upon, don't worry, we don't have any manifestos for you to look at because these are all, you know, councillors that are competing? Or was it a scenario of look to the existing manifestos that were brought out last year?
By our respective political parties.
By the respective parties. Yeah. And that's what we're basing this discussion on. But no one said anything on that.
But that makes sense, right? If you take, for example, if a candidate came out and said, the reason why the reason why we can't, actually, in this election, the regional council and local authority ones, our manifesto still remains the same, more like commitments, or more like promises that we're making to our voters, still remains the same as the ones we made for last year's presidential and national assembly election.
But you and I are mentioning that now. Yeah.
So none of them.
No one has mentioned that discussion.
Then it must be one of those things that I can only assume a lot of candidates are saying. Okay, I mean it's a no-brainer. They will obviously know that we can't produce two different manifestos for two different types of elections.
Yeah, which would be confusing, obviously. So obviously, as the rainfall is falling outside, plus the lightning that I'm seeing from here. But the concern obviously is now that since the rain is now falling, guys, I don't know if it's falling in wherever you find yourself across the country, wherever you're listening to us from. Obviously now it makes the difficulty to go vote still tonight even more difficult because now that voter that was going, I'm waiting for cooler temperatures.
Should I go? Should I not go? Then like, yeah.
Should I try and watch some Champions League? Cause there's Champions League playing tonight.
Yeah.
And then the rain starts falling. Oh, what? You know what? Nature has made my decision for me.
I was this close to going.
I was this close. You know, I had my Havaianas on. Mm-hmm. My size 6 Havaianas on my size 10 feet.
you want to talk to me directly. Don't go through
no,
the corner.
No, not you, Elmer. Not you. Yeah, so now those voters were just like, you know what, sharp guys. I'm going to go chill, switch on, you know, everything that looks like a TV, and then just sleep my day away. Mm-hmm. So basically that's what's going to happen right now. This didn't happen last year. I was hoping for rain last year, Albert.
No, last year, the rain, I mean, those queues those queues would have been, actually that would have made the voting quick, even more terrible.
It would have made it terrible.
Yeah, like, it would have been, I mean, rain would have been the worst. I mean, Tebs would have liked it because, well, in that weather, they would not be, have been overheating. But, because it didn't rain, you know, it wasn't raining at the time.
No, it was boiling hot.
Yes, it was boiling hot, which was, you know, which made it worse, which is why the AU election observers were saying, considering the weather, which is why they also included in the report that, the external weather were also contributing to the overheating of the devices that were used during the elections.
Mm.
Yeah, but, now, just coming to, back to this discussion, when you look at the, what can be said as a visible voter apathy on display? There are two points that you made. Either one, can be attributed to the lack of, of much options, one. And then you have, two, campaign by the candidates or by, you know, marketing themselves, letting themselves know. Now, yesterday I was talking about the cyber security awareness that the Namibian Bankers Association Association of Namibia and Bank of Namibia held and took me to Interpol's Operation Serengeti 2.0,
yeah,
which was conducted between June and August this year, and that operation was paid for by not us.
Definitely, it'll never be by us. Oh, did they speak about that operation?
Did you
see the other operation on counterterrorism that was also not paid by not us?
But definitely not us.
It included Namibia, Angola, Mozambique, and those fourth country.
You know, they obviously cracked down on over 1,000 over 1,000 suspected scammers that were running. They were running industrial level type of scamming, facilities that these guys were running, especially in Angola and Zambia.
Mm.
But one thing they quickly learned in Zambia is that while in Angola, it was more of a crypto type of scamming. The crypto type of scamming was more in Zambia.
Yeah.
And where they will basically, send all this massive, those guys invested a lot in advertising for, to make sure that all these apps that they were using, quote unquote, fake apps that basically fake apps that they spread out there in order to motivate people to start taking interest into crypto investment. They spent a lot into making sure that these apps are popping up in advertising left, right, and center on every device that you look at.
Mm.
So they invested a lot in marketing these apps, which is why these guys, in the 3 months that they were raided, they found them running, multiple operations, all across the continent, and, targeting over about 88,000 people.
Mm.
And they managed to recover in funds about, 119 something. Million US dollars,
yeah,
which I converting to Namibian dollars, went up to 1.7 billion.
Mm.
But, I'm not sure of the exact figure in US dollars because after I converted it, then the Namibian dollar was much more easy for me to remember. So, these guys marketed their questionable activities
So the two reasons then that can be used to, or more like to explain the clearly what is a clearly now visible voter apathy to, you know, I mean, to what, well, like I can say, what, well, I can't say clearly because that's for experts and including ECN to determine with time. Yeah. So, then it can be attributed to, either the candidates not marketing themselves in a way that we see candidates of a presidential national assembly doing, because those guys go big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can, I mean, it's easy to basically point the fingers mostly to independent candidate if they did not put themselves out there as much as possible. But if you are representing a political party, then that political party can also basically be pointed out and say, was it a lack of funding or what's going on here?
Yeah. And why did your candidate not perform as you thought he or she?
In a way that they
would have favorably have achieved their particular position.
But I think it's mostly has to do with the way that we look at elections in comparison, especially the local authority and regional council one. It's very easy, and I fall in that category because it's very easy to look down on these elections as opposed to the ones of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the ones of last year obviously had a particular, how can I put this? Significance, because there was one woman's candidate against a field of just male candidates.
Yeah.
So no one else was putting forward, no other party was putting forward a female
representative. Yeah.
Yeah. To compete. And that probably was sort of like the, what do they call that thing? The honey trap for most voters.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a honey trap because people were sold on this potential first female president that Namibia would have idea. So you could obviously see the whole marketing idea was just first female president. Probably things might improve.
Tanzania was like, we are doing it whether you like it or not. come hell or high waters, you are having one.
Why did you bring in the Tanzania?
Don't worry, we are not going to Tanzania anytime. At least I hope. And now,
I also hope. Yeah,
really hope. Yeah. So now the thing is, the reason why I went the direction of looking down on the regional council and local authority elections is that it's not a good idea, because if we are talking about decentralizing governance from central government, then it's important to basically look at the regional council and local authority elections as even more important, because we want to distribute services and governance.
But then, Helmut, here's the thing. They should potentially be then the elections that should happen before presidential.
So it should be the other way around.
Yeah. They should, you remember why I've been continuously complaining and making the statement that the most important guys that need, where we need to uplift our development game is the local and regional authority.
Yeah, plus these are the people that are in a close proximity with the people they represent as opposed to the president.
Exactly. As opposed to the party presidents of the various parties.
Yeah.
So you have all these councillors that then have to be asked, you know, or these candidates for potential council seats wherever they are across the country, they should be asked, you know, what needs are needed there in that town?
Different regions and constituencies. Yeah.
Exactly. Do you know what literally deflated this whole election process? Was when you and I did the discussion on the governor's assessments of their regions.
Yeah. They said the state of the region addresses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Remember when we looked at Kavango West? Of
watermelon juice, how can I forget?
Watermelon juice, the potential for new local authorities to be set up, meaning 2 to 3 new towns being added, because they realize that the burden on Ngurunguru is too big to service the whole region.
Mm-hmm.
Scenarios like that. Now, I already saw Helmut into, yes, guys, it's known as, you know, you look into the future. It's known as, you can see the future. Unfortunately, all those governors played the particular books except for Comas, because Comas can't literally do anything, because the city of Windhoek already drives development for the region. So Commerce Regional Council has to play outside of Windhoek.
Yeah.
Literally. They can't play in Windhoek because what can they do? So all the other governors across the country, when they did their state of the region addresses and regional updates and whatever situations, those guys literally preempted any discussions for what could potentially be done when you vote in someone for this election.
Yeah.
Klar. And guys, development doesn't happen in caches or in silos or in compartments. You have to look at...
Sometimes you have to raise a Windhoek beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Windhoek beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Windhoek, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. It's 14 minutes left to the hour of 6. This is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Before we continue, let's take a live read.
Vavitsi University, where the 2026 applications are now open for the new programs on offer for the following programs. Faculty of Health Sciences for the Master of Public Health, Level 9. The mode of delivery will be distance. Areas of specialization include maternal child health, public health, nutrition, mental health and well-being, food safety management systems, sustainable solid waste management, innovative approaches in pharmaceutical public health, drug regulations, child protection and adolescent health, violence prevention and intervention. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. So, just where I left off, Helmut. So, everything was technically, when we did the discussions already about what the governors of the respective regions were talking about, and we only looked at a handful because we were looking at certain particular key regions, minus Commerce, because Commerce doesn't make sense to look at Commerce.
Nah.
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense. I mean, it's too centralized. It sits with all commercial power. It sits with all legislative power. It sits with all executive power. It sits with all everything that sounds like power sits in Commerce.
All roads
lead to Commerce. Yeah. So I'm really sorry, guys. However, the other regions, like the watermelon juice region of Kavango West, the region, the Kunene region, which is probably Namibia's most underdeveloped region.
Yeah, and that, by landmass, that region is massive.
Well, it's second in comparison to the Hartap and Karas and Ochotonchupa regions.
Yeah.
But it is a particular region that obviously has specific needs. The specific needs, Helmut, are that you can literally see Namibia will have to invest a lot in development projects in that region. Firstly, transport connectivity. Transport connectivity, meaning linking certain particular settlements with each other. Now, remember what I explained to you, how the settlements flow in Kunene. They flow like in a V. So I'm going to show it in reverse to you. You've got a Opuo here on your right-hand side in this far-off corner on the regional border with... What's the border that... Is it... It's not Oshikoto region. But it's literally on the regional border, I think, with Oshana. And then you got to come all the way down to... what's that place's name? How could I forget that town? But it's literally a town that's literally just across the Ochotonchupa region, regional border and Kunene border. How could I forget that town? there's, you know, it's a specific teacher that I had conversations with hanging out there. But anyway, from that reach, because the road that leads from Ochozonjupa runs through that town, whose name I now miraculously forgot, runs through that town, and from that town, you can branch up to Kunene, or you can drive all the way, still continuing on to Korejas. On the other side of Korejas, you find Fransfontein, another settlement.
Yeah.
And then from Opuo, you probably have to drive all the way to Ruakana, to the border. So, this is your region. It runs in this V.
Just along the border.
This weird V shape, yeah. The road network.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, what's here, Helm? What is going on here?
Needle, that's just void of any civilization.
No, but there are apparently people living there. Just like in Kavango West.
Yeah.
There are people living there somewhere in the wild.
Yeah.
They live on
so you have, villages,
pretty remote areas.
So you have a remote, you have a lot of villages that are scattered across all this remote, you know, remote middle part of the region.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the road network, you know, more like a road network or the road runs mostly along the borders with other regions.
Mm.
Okay. Who came up with that? And
it's how it was built.
Yeah, and what pattern were they following? Because they must have, you know, they did not just scratch their head and decide to build that. You're basically following where the people are.
Yeah, you're basically following, and that's specifically how infrastructure is built.
Yeah.
There where people are living, that's how you follow things. So, oh yeah, it's Ochu. That's the town's name. Ochu is literally just in the Kunene direction. Even though this map is pretty weird in terms of its layout. However, when we look at this discussion, of how things flow, how the infrastructure flows. Yeah, this is what it looks like, Alvin. It's a bit crude, but this is what the infrastructure, the red is literally the roads, I think. Yeah, it's the roads that connect the towns. Just look where Ochu sits.
So it's a V-shape.
It's literally a V-shape. And where Korejas is on that map is a little bit inaccurate. The same too for Ochu as well. Now, if you look at that layout, now where, what, what's happening in the rest of Kunene there?
A lot of...
nothing. There's a lot of nothing.
Almost said village activities, but let's go.
And we potentially... We will potentially get a... Okay. You have to put Opuo a little bit in this direction. A little bit
push
more.
Push it a little further north.
Eastwards.
Oh.
Push it a little bit more eastwards. But... And because Korejas is not directly below Opuo.
I would have fallen for that though, because I've never been that part of the country.
But still, I've also never been there. I'd like to go there as well. We still have to ask the question in terms of all these particular councillors that stood today, or these potential candidates for council seats.
They're still standing, dude.
They're still standing. I know they're still standing. The biggest question they've got to ask themselves is, did they literally play the cards right in terms of communicating what change they would like to bring to people? Because I'll tell you today, the three people standing in my constituency, mm-hmm. I didn't hear jack anything. I heard complete cricket. I heard a cricket rebellion in my constituency. I don't know what they are standing for. All you know is that they're standing for a party, so are you voting for the party? Are you voting for the person? What are they standing for? What improvement in terms of service delivery are they going to bring?
I'm just excited. Oh, wait, we're going to...
Or is the highlight next year going to be another coalition council situation?
No.
For everything good, the previous, blue and green.
The previous one was...
Yeah, for like 3 years it was dormant, and then the last 2 years now, suddenly we start seeing projects.
This is that was not bad. That was a catastrophe wrapped in a disaster, and with a little hint of bad.
Sprinkled, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the seasoning, or the MSG. So, I mean, we have to ask these particular questions. And remember, those guys had to navigate things, Helmut, from a COVID-influenced economy. First question is, we've got to ask these candidates, we should have asked these candidates, do they know what the economy, or do they know what the word economy means?
I'm sure there are those that can give you a definition, and I'm pretty sure there are those who will be like, huh?
Because based on the things that happened in Kiertmanshoop, you know,
yeah,
with one specific party leader and an independent candidate there, it seemed like people didn't care about economy or economics or basic economics. It was more like, I just didn't like your face.
You know, when I came across, the live streaming of the ongoing elections, and at the time they had, they were talking to the national broadcasting team that was in Zambezi. It took me back to the discussion we had on the group from the Minister of Gender that was in Zambezi talking about backyard gardening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, they said this part where things took a rather
the
political
councilors.
Turn.
Yeah.
Where they said, the money that we are receiving to basically run these programs is not enough when it's, when it's split up.
Yeah.
How about we just allocate this money per backyard garden project or per a small group of backyard garden project per financial year.
Mm.
Yeah. And then people went quickly the direction of, well, here's the thing. Now we have constituency councillors going, okay, how sure am I that, the 10 for my constituency council is going to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 10 for my constituency is going to come. Now things went political really fast.
Because that councillor.
Yeah.
Is now defending his or her seat now. Today.
Yeah, because I made promises to my people.
And
you are telling me they have to wait until the time when I may or may not be in office.
Here's the worst part.
My favorite part.
Here's the worst part. Someone else competing with that same seat there.
Yeah.
Would literally be saying, yeah, he made promises, he or she made promises.
Didn't fulfill.
And they were told they have to wait 2 financial years from now.
Yeah.
For you guys to be funded. Vote for me and I'll try and speed up the process.
Yep.
However, how the situation worked is that the funding comes from Windhoek. It's not funding that they can unlock there.
Yep. I know.
Yeah, guys. If you guys are somewhere in the rural constituency.
Look, the representative from Ministry of Gender, one gentleman, I think, decided to, because there was this lady from the Zambezi region that was doing the presentation.
Mm.
Like the progress that they have made so far and some of the challenges that they are facing. And of course, when it comes to things like this, one of the biggest challenges, obviously, especially when it comes to anything development on a national or constituent on international level, is always money.
Mm.
That quickly went the direction of, the money being allocated to these programs is just not enough. Now, the thing is, Then she went on to point out that suggestions were made basically to sort of like make this just a small group of backyard gardening projects per financial year so that they are given enough funding to to buy all the equipment they need to execute to implement as much plans as possible for them to get a better yield out of it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's when that's when the whole thing took a very 90-degree political turn. And people were like, okay, the thing is, these programs are located in different constituencies. And these different constituencies have different councillors who, each of whom will start going, it's not that I'm against the idea. It's that now you have this whole competition of everyone wants to be, wants to be first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that was basically a very good idea, but it was not explored further because one gentleman from the Ministry of Gender started saying so this whole thing has gone political. Now the lady doing the presentation at this point, you are going, so the gentleman that suggested the idea that said it's going political started going so you can't talk about it. That's when I just started laughing my lungs out. Which is, now that is very true for a lot of programs. And this is not just in the Zambezi region or just in Namibia. This is the world over. you have, that's basically, I think, the, you know, the painful, petty part of politics.
Mm.
Yeah. There are certain implementations that you can't carry out because, you know, everyone is scared that I made promises to those people that I have to fulfill. Therefore, would rather fulfill them in fragments and making it very difficult to execute than me being looked at as someone that did not deliver on their promises. It's better we have something small going on than nothing at all for 2 years because we have to wait our turn financial wise.
And then they write to ad break, guys.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwanda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Patafanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali No Heali, Ileko, Derewa, Nora Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
You are now. Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of six. That brings us to the end of Home Run, but it's just time to wrap things up, sign out so I can go and vote. So you go.
Just on a final particular note.
Yeah.
If what happened to you guys happened, like what happened to me happens to
when
you guys.
When it comes to the lack of options.
Not just lack of options. Yeah. You didn't see any of these particular faces campaigning or trying to convince you. I'm really sorry.
Now they're on your ballot paper.
I can only apologize because it literally seems like most of the political parties didn't do a pretty good job in highlighting...
Marketing their candidates.
Or marketing their candidates or inviting you to public discussions. There's also probably, if you don't show up because of the weather, I mean, you're just human.
Yeah, but if you're in winter, you can still show up. It's just nice weather.
Really, Helmut?
Yeah.
Where you stay, Helmut, there's probably going to be mud and water.
That's one thing about rain, Namibian rain.
Yeah. So.
More like Southwest African. Southern African. Southwest African.
You went for an old name.
I know.
Yeah. So, in that particular consideration also, if you find yourselves in the rural areas listening to us, and you have literally councillors or candidates that were playing the particular politicization of development projects in your vicinity, also just, you know, think about those particular actions because primarily they potentially could cost you the needed development that you need. The development should be non-negotiable. It's the same thing like what Helmut and I continuously say. If a politician says they will give you jobs, ask them how. Please, ask them how. Crucial.
Not just job. Whatever promises they made, especially anything development wise.
Ask them how.
Yep.
How are they going to provide it? How's it going to materialize? What's the strategy? Because just to go voting for a guy and he just sits there and you're asking, no, brah, what's happening here? And nothing is still happening. Hey man, you gave that vote away. It's only up to you. But yeah, Helmut, is there still something you want to say on your side?
I'm gonna still go with both the political parties and candidates and basically voters in general, looking down on regional council and local authority elections, at least in least significance in comparison to the National Assembly and presidential elections that we witnessed last year. And this can be seen in voter turnout, if you ask me. The reason why I think we have to work on changing that perception, especially when it comes to elections, is that if we want to decentralize our government, we have to, we have to begin by realizing that, regional council and local authority elections are very important, because the representatives that are coming out of these elections are the ones that we are interacting with on a daily basis, as opposed to, to representatives that are coming out of the presidential National Assembly elections.
Yeah.
And actually, these are the people that we have to communicate through. Your different councillors that are going to come out of different constituencies to represent their respective areas on the national council level, to be on the seat at the national council, which is one call it a compartment of our parliament. You have the national parliament and national council. So the national council. The National Council is made up of exactly that, councillors that you are interacting with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And one of the roles they play is to recommend topics of discussion or deliberation to the National Assembly. Mm-hmm. So if you have grievances on your constituency level that you would like to be deliberated on a National Assembly level, it's much easier for you to run those ideas through your councillor, who is in the National Assembly, National Council,
yeah,
rather than you trying to, get your way to Windhoek and figure out how to get those ideas directly to the National Assembly. So communication, when it comes to channel of communication in terms of topics of deliberation and on a National Assembly level, National Council way is the best way to go, because you are dealing with people that you are interacting with on a daily basis, or more like on a weekly basis, because these are your constituency councillors. So when it comes to the significance in voting now in terms of representative governance, I'd say for easy communication with the central government, constituency councillors are just as important.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that Namibians are looking down on the regional council and local authority elections. That's just my point of view, looking at the lack of voter turnout compared to the National Assembly and the presidential election voters turnout that we witnessed last year.
Hmm. Speaking about the National Council.
Oh, but we have new National Council Standing Committees.
Yeah, there will be new guys. The downside is just, Helmut, they still have to deal with the government extension offices.
Yeah.
The ministerial extension offices.
Yeah.
And branches in their regions, respective regions. And they obviously still have also to see their particular oversight mechanisms in terms of how various particular relief programs and development programs are rolled out. But at the heart, from the article of discussion you and I had a little back in last month, we're in November, in October, yeah, remember about the development budget, where only 30% of the development budget had been spent?
Yeah.
Technically, you can't think about much of November. You can definitely forget about December, because all government officials might be on holiday by next week.
Yeah.
And half of January, probably, because they would be complaining about how many months does January consist of.
And also, oh my God, those queues when we are registering our kids, my God.
Yeah, that too. So, you can basically see that the development budget will be untouched.
So it's back to Treasury, and then
it gets redistributed. It gets redistributed. No, end of Feb.
Yeah,
it's redistributed again. And then we have end of February, we hear now again. Okay, so this is what the new budget will look like going for 2026, 2027.
And then you come, October, midterm budget review, and the cycle repeats.
Yeah, well. But we've got to end up right there, dear listeners, and let's see each other again. I'll only be back next week, guys. I'm sorry. Came back only for today.
Yeah. So for me, tomorrow, we're still here.
Yeah. On that note, enjoy the rest of your programming, guys, right after this break.
Yeah, and throw in your headphones and listen to China Corner on your way to the nearest polling station if you haven't already.
100%. Just don't get electrocuted, eh?
Yeah, don't.
Safety first.
Yeah.
T
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.